Show. We're with you every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. on KTBL 1050. I'm Jeffrey Candelaria along with
DJ Heckes.
And so I do banking at Bank of the West, and DJ, you own Exhibit.
Exhibit. That's right, Jeffrey.
And you're also the sponsor of ABQ Connect Now. Thank you for being a sponsor of ABQ Connect Now. The purpose of our show, as you know, is to bring people of consequence, particularly in business, to ABQ Connect Now so they can share their insights and provide strategies for your business as you tune in every Saturday on KTBL. Jeffrey Candelaria, again, along with
DJ Heckes.
DJ, our first guest.
Our first guest today is not only a friend, but a longtime business owner in the community. Very well respected, and when you meet her, you're just going to really be enlightened on her leadership style. Her business is unique. It's Griffin & Associates. They've been in business for 25 years, and they're one of the oldest marketing firms in the state of New Mexico. They've weathered the up and downs, the good times, along with the bad. Let's welcome CEO Joni Griffin.
Thank you, DJ.
Thank you for coming today. We really appreciate it. And, you know, you're doing so many great things, and you just won an award.
We did. We just won Best of Show by the New Mexico chapter of the Public Relations Society of America for our Taos tourism campaign from last year. So we're very excited about that.
And weren't you fastest growing companies again for how many years?
This was our third year. And we also just made the Inc. 5000 list. So last month I was in Orlando with the 5000 fastest growing companies in the United States, privately held companies. So that was really, really exciting.
You know, Joni, that attributes a lot because we've been through a lot, business owner to business owner here. You know, in the last, what, you've been in business 25 plus years?
Going on 26. January 1st will be 26 years. I was a child prodigy. I started at 10.
Yeah, because you look really young. And, you know, you've been in business a long time and you've weathered, what, two recessions?
Yeah.
What do you attribute as a business owner that you can share with the audience what it's like to be a CEO of a high-tech, fast-paced company and weather two recessions? Tell us a little bit about going into it, through it, and how you took your leadership and got out of it.
Well, one of the things that's interesting in Albuquerque, we seem to be always last for the good and the bad. So when the first recession hit in the 90s, I think Albuquerque weathered it for quite a period, and then people were coming out as we went in. And I would say with the recession of 2008, it was the same thing. So I didn't feel the hit of the recession. I'm going to talk about the most recent one because it's a little more recent and real. In 2008, I didn't feel it till the end of 2009. And I would say we've just started to turn the corner, and I wouldn't say Albuquerque is fully out of the recession yet. So and I hate to say that, but I think it's true. And if you look at all the things that we're reading, I think it says that Albuquerque, we are still one of the only states in the Rocky Mountain region to be losing jobs. We have fewer jobs being created than the jobs that are exiting the state. And I believe we're the only one in our region. So Texas does not have that stat. Colorado does not have that stat. Nevada, Utah, Arizona, California. So, you know, what it takes, I think, is to know that it's happening and then adjust.
So I think we have to also recycle our leadership, to be honest with you, Joni. We talked about that. Obviously, we don't have to mention names. And I've been on this personal quest for probably 5 years. We have a lot of dinosaur leadership in Albuquerque, to be perfectly honest with you. But let's not talk about that. What have you seen in terms of some of the stark, more salient changes 25 years ago, 10 years ago, 15? And now, in terms of business, technology probably, maybe even the millennial population, their work ethic or lack thereof, whatever.
You just answered the question.
So talk about some of those.
Well, and interestingly, at the Inc. 5000, so the Inc. 5000 is put on by Inc. Magazine, and it's the 5,000 fastest privately held companies. 40% of this year's recipients are tech companies. And I would say the average age was probably about 38. So if you look at, there were a whole bunch of companies that have CEOs that are in their 20s, and then there's companies like mine where we're in our 50s, so we average out to be 38. So I would say technology. My world is changing so quickly, as is everybody else's. You know, you look at banking. When I started my business in 1990, I banked with SunWest Bank, which no longer exists. SunWest now, I think, is Bank of America, I think is where it ended up.
I believe so. That's their 14th incarnation.
Right. And back then, in 1990, I remember I had a banker named Kevin Park. I have no idea where he is now. But if I was waiting for a big check to come and I had payroll next Monday, I could call Kevin and go, hey, I need $10,000 for 2 weeks. No problem, Joni. Come on down. Just need you to sign some paperwork. Boom, done. That is not the way banking is done today. Back in the day when I first started, we didn't have computers. Okay, when I started in the business world in 1980, we didn't have computers. We did everything on typewriters. And you faxed. No, we didn't have faxes then. You mailed things to clients. And then you had this long period of time. Well, today, client sends me something, and if I don't respond in 5 minutes, they're calling me on my cell phone to see if I got their email. You know, there's no time. Everything's moving at the speed of sound.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you talk about banking, for example. We understand in the banking industry throughout the country, banks, branch bank banking, if you will, the branch bank brick and mortar, 10 years, you're not going to see that anymore.
Right.
Because people all do their banking on their smartphone.
Right.
And through computer. But the point you're making is the instant transference of information and just transactional business can happen with a few keystrokes on your smartphone.
But that's every business.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're in banking, whether you're in marketing, whether you're in trade show design, everything is moving at the speed of sound. Retail. You know, it breaks my heart. I live and work in Nob Hill, and I think about Nob Hill 25 years ago, which had so much retail. There's so little retail now.
Yeah.
Everybody buys everything online. Everybody uses Amazon. I mean, I watch myself as a consumer. I try to shop local, but there's just tons of times
where I don't.
One
of my good friends, Randy Sanchez, runs the mall, and so does Travis Robinson, ABQ Uptown and Coronado Center. He was talking to me, you know, with some trepidation about the mall model.
Right.
10 years, that
may not exist.
It may not exist.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
I've actually gone into the Gap store, for instance, and I took my daughter shopping because it's her favorite store. We'll go online, and I found better deals than I did in the store while I was there. So what we did was we looked, got this barcode, ordered online.
Right.
That's sad.
It's very hard for the local retailer, and that just breaks my heart. That's an industry that's changing. So, you know, so let's just go back to the recession and how you weather the storm is, A, you have to know it's coming and be prepared and be willing to make tough changes. So in my business, we didn't have to fire anybody. What we did as a company, we have 10 employees, so we're small, is we sat down together and was like, okay, business is down. We dropped 40% at the end of 2009 to the beginning of 2010. And I have a very open book philosophy. And so I showed people like, look, we need to make up this amount of money. So we can either let people go or we can make changes. So everybody took pay cuts. We cut out some of the things like, you know, soda and bottled water. I mean, we looked at everything we could do without, and we did that for about a year. And everybody took a pay cut. What I did institute was Fridays off with that. Basically, I didn't – was with pay. So that made up for not having their income, and everybody agreed to not take raises. And we got through that and then started to turn the corner and go the other direction.
You're listening to ABQ Connect Now, business radio show. We're with you every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. I'm Jeffrey Candelaria along with
DJ Heckes.
Our guest today is the owner and CEO, Joni Griffin of Griffin and Associates. So getting back to what you just discussed, you made everyone that had a stake in your business accountable and, serving a consequence, if you will, to the larger aim and aims of the business, which is obviously profitability, sustainability, and maintaining the integrity of your business. Again, I admire that because lots of companies, you'll talk to folks, and they make shoes, but they really don't know what the mission statement is at the end of the day of the company they work for. And that's what makes companies like yours successful, because I've been a friend and a business associate of yours for many years. You have a culture inside Griffin & Associates.
Right.
You want to chat about that?
Yeah, well, and that philosophy really worked. Our average tenure at my company is 10 years. So I have 3 employees who've been with me for over 15, and my shortest term employee is somebody I hired right out of college. She's been with me for 2 years. But people don't leave, and I think it's because I'm really loyal to my employees. We couldn't have grown the business to where it's at without them. And so together as a team, we work on the solutions. And, you know, business is up and down. I wish it was just straight up. It's not. And if we need to make cuts again, I'm sure as a group we would do the same sort of thing.
Thank you, Joni. DJ, talk about some of our live events. We have an ABQ Connect Now on December 2nd. So it's an extension of the radio show. It's going to take place at Dave & Buster's from 5 to 8 p.m.
It is. And to RSVP, call 604-9081. Also, save the dates for the future. We have the Leadership Tomorrow Today Summit, February 4th from 8 to 12:15 at the Marriott Pyramid. It's $25 pre-registration. You do not want to miss this. We have a national bookseller coming on leadership. We've got five dynamic speakers. You can call 604-9081 for more information.
It's only 25 bucks. That includes continental breakfast, and it'll be at least four speakers that own businesses that'll be talking about leadership for your business. All right, Joni, so getting back to what we discussed in the green room, one of the other attributes that makes you successful is the agility that you put forth in your business. Agility business, we talked about.
Right.
So talk about how you've been able to pivot and really reincarnate yourself over the last 25 years.
So we do marketing, advertising, and PR. So when the recession hit, my business at that point in 2008 was about 50% government contracts. In 2009, they dried up to about 10%. So it was pretty dramatic. And my government contracts back then averaged probably $75,000 in revenue. So gone. And we had to look at, okay, here's that's gone. It's not coming back because, and that was always in New Mexico. I think a lot of us rely on government contracts,
oh, yeah.
But it was just the reality was the government stopped spending because the government income was down as well. And I looked out at the marketplace here and it's mostly small local businesses. So we started putting together what kind of programs can we do for small businesses to help them get out of the recession. And instead of having a $75,000 contract, maybe we had $2,500 contracts. And that's how we made it was we really went after the small business and there was no budget that was too small and we did great work
for
them.
So not only
did
you have to change your strategy as far as who your client base was and is, but also technology in and of itself began to manifest itself. So you had to adjust to the way social media, for example, was integrated into email back then, supplanting faxing and traditional voicemail and all that. So you had a business inside of a business strategy that you had to implement to address that population.
And continue. Because you think about it, Facebook is only 6.5 years old. So what's coming tomorrow that we don't even know about that's going to be the next Facebook or the next LinkedIn? And so we are constantly studying, learning, going to workshops, going to different programs, keeping ourselves abreast of what's happening. And that's also a change in business because probably for the first 10 years of my business, we did business, you did the same thing day after day after day, and that is not the case anymore.
Yeah, I was reading an article a couple of months ago. Between 1954 and about 1998 or so, business was pretty much done one kind of way. You had a desk, you had a phone, and you had paper, and you had stuff, And right around 98, email changed everything.
Right.
So really for 48 years, business was kind of done one way. In the last, 15, 20 years, there's been the acceleration of the speed of business that's been really astronomical,
right,
in many ways.
Right.
And I'm speaking metaphorically and literally.
And, you have to stay on top of innovation. I know we have a lot of similarities in the way we run our business because we have to stay on technology constantly with apps and technology. People get a website lead form. I'll get a lead on a Saturday. If I don't respond from my phone, I could lose that sale.
Right.
And it's just now. How do you keep that up with only 10 employees, still have that innovation cusp, Joni? And what are you doing to, besides being a learner, how do you keep your employees from getting burnout? Because I know we're all working harder now than we did prior to 2008.
Well, we have a great team, and we do everything as a team, which I think is one of the things. We close on Fridays at 3 o'clock. And our culture, unlike most ad agencies, I don't know if anybody listening watched Mad Men, the advertising agency stereotype is that, you're staying till 3 o'clock in the morning and you're working on all these campaigns. And our culture pretty much is 8 to 5. Yes, when we have to, because we have a big project, people will stay. But I think we have a lot of balance. And so I don't know if that answers that. But, we do stay on top of it. I do pay for everybody to go to workshops, to go to seminars, to go to training programs, to join organizations where they can learn. And then we try to balance it with having life, because without life, what's the point?
Thank you again for listening to ABQ Connect Now. I'm Jeffrey Candelaria along with
DJ Heckes.
And DJ, again, thank you for not only being the co-host, but sponsoring ABQ Connect Now. Talk a little bit about the sponsorship and what you do at Exhibit.
Well, Exhibit believes in co-hosting with you, Jeffrey. We both have that same passion, helping business leaders express and tell their story and how they're being innovative and changing our mentality here. And Exhibit is the same way. You know, we inspire, we work with companies. We love to learn all about their vision, their mission, their core values. And we actually take a well-branded company and we'll put it on tangible things with print and messaging when they go to trade shows or conferences and events.
Absolutely. And you did all the graphics for ABQ Connect Now and Leadership Tomorrow Today. So thank you for that. So not only do you do that, but you provide the graphic artwork for businesses as well.
Thank you, Jeffrey. And Joni, I have a question. You know, we talk about as leaders, you know, how do you keep your employees motivated and inspired? You know, I know we've recently come out with like a pay for performance quarterly bonus plan. I've been reading a lot of books that say old style leadership on the annual review and giving someone a raise because they're entitled isn't really incentivizing the new leadership development. How do you feel about that?
I agree. And we have two unusual bonuses. So one, actually three. So one that I do is I pay commissions to my employees for bringing in any new business. And bringing in new business can be as much as just giving me a lead and I'll close it. And so that motivates everybody to help the company grow. We also give a billable hour bonus every month. So I have different tiers of bonuses that everybody can attain, and almost 100% of my employees get a bonus every month. And then I give spontaneous bonuses for no reason. So in July, I gave big bonuses to most of the staff just because. And so that keeps people motivated. And then the other thing that we do is the third Thursday of every month, we have chair massage come in. So everybody gets free massages. And we, you know, spontaneously we'll go out to lunch, have a happy hour. And like I said, we close at 3 o'clock on Friday so people can get on with their weekends. And we have generous PTO and vacation policies as well.
Our guest is Joni Griffin. She is the CEO and president of Griffin & Associates. Joni, then what, you've alluded to this, but what specifically sets your company apart from some of the other, I think there's about seven or eight other public relations, marketing, you know, assistant firms, that kind of thing. What makes you distinctive amongst the local industry folk that do what you do in your world?
Well, A, we've been here for 25 years. There's only one other company that has been in business as long as we have. Secondly, we will work with all sizes of business. Do we want the humongous large million-dollar accounts? Of course we do. But we're also happy to work with a company that only has $100 to spend. And I think, you know, that makes a big difference because a lot of my competitors just have a flat, you know, you don't have $5,000 a month to spend, we won't work with you. And then the longevity of my team. So when you're working with Griffin & Associates, you're working with the whole team. And we've been together so long, we can finish each other's sentences. It's pretty funny to watch us in a meeting. And so I think that really is something that is different from my competition. But I've got to say, in the creative community here in Albuquerque, we have some of the best in the country. I would put any of us up against any New York firm any day of the week.
You know, and I believe that. I mean, I work with you guys also. And, you know, you guys are one of our sponsors for the B2B. You're doing our press releases. And I appreciate that. You know, that kind of segues into, you're really making a difference in our community, and I'd like the people to hear about all the great things that Griffin Associates and you personally do to really make an impact in New Mexico. Can you share some of that?
You are very sweet, so thank you. So it's been one of my core pillars, I think, since we started in business was I have been successful in Albuquerque because of the business community here in Albuquerque, and I feel it's my responsibility to give back. So we always give back, and how we do that is by giving free services to nonprofits. So currently, we work with West, which is an incubator sort of for small businesses. We work with ABQID also in the business world. We've done some work with Boomtime, so that's kind of in the economic development sector. We have Desiree, who is my partner, serves on the board of the Albuquerque Advertising Federation. Jamie is on the board of the New Mexico chapter of the American Marketing Association. We always say yes to anybody who wants us to speak. We work with the Heart Association, with the New Mexico Jazz Workshop. So a lot of nonprofits where we are happy to donate our services to help them grow. And nonprofits need so much help. And again, the government funding has declined. So I think all nonprofits are in that world of needing to raise more money And so we always help with marketing and fundraising.
Our guest is Joni Griffin. She is the president and CEO of Griffin & Associates. Again, DJ, we have some live events coming up. December 2nd, ABQ Connect Now, 5 to 8 p.m. at Dave & Buster's. And talk about the Leadership Summit again, please.
And I would. Before the Leadership Summit, I also want to talk about the January ABQ Connect Now, because we're hosting it at Exhib It. So save the date, December 2nd, Dave & Buster's, and January 28th from 5 to 8 at Exhib It. Also, the Leadership Summit, February 4th, 8 to 12. It's $25 pre-registration, includes continental breakfast and five dynamic leadership speakers that are going to present with actual takeaways. You don't really hear that, where you can go and apply it tomorrow after the event. You can call 604-9081 to learn more information.
That's why I think this business radio show, ABQ Connect Now, is I think the only radio show I'm aware of in this state, at least, that has live business events that complement what we're doing on radio by bringing folks like Joni Griffin, successful business leaders like that, to our listenership. We also complement that with live events, which is a really innovative way of providing radio content and live event networking content.
And really sharing that New Mexico has great leaders right here. Just a handful, I mean, not a handful, but tons and tons of great leaders in our community.
It's a good segue to my next question to you, Joni. It's good. It's a tough question, because you know me. I'm a very direct, candid guy, and I call it at like it is. When I see an elf in the room, I'm going to say, hey, there's a big fat elf in the room. What the hell are we going to do about it? So you've been in business 25 years in Albuquerque. You've seen the good, the bad, the ugly. Where do you see Albuquerque now relative to where you started? And what do you see Albuquerque, the business community, the ecosystem called Albuquerque, right? Where do you see it in 5 years? I mean, just based on your extrapolations.
So I think we've gone through a transformation. When I started in business in 1990, we were very heavily reliant on the federal government for basically everything. So pretty much all the companies that were here, some way or another, were tied to the federal government. That federal funding has declined, is going to continue to decline. Sandia Labs is shrinking. Los Alamos National Labs is shrinking. We're shrinking. So I think hopefully with the right leadership and if everything that we're doing starts to pan out, I hope that Albuquerque will be a major competitor to cities like Portland and Austin and Denver, specifically in the tech sector. And I think that is a huge, huge, huge opportunity for us. So if you look at, again, those companies I met at the Inc. 5000, which were so many young people, Albuquerque, what we have that Denver, Portland, and Austin don't have is we have quality of life.
No question. But remember, what I'm hearing from all our guests we've interviewed the last 4 months and just my observations over 27 years of doing business, we have ABQ ID, we have Epicenter, we have all these innovative platforms to complement and foster tech. What we don't have, from what I'm hearing from everyone, is capital acquisition.
Right.
Access to capital. Without that, you know, you can have a beautiful looking Ferrari without an engine inside, doesn't mean anything. So any thoughts on access to capital?
Then that's an issue, but perhaps we can go after some of these tech companies to have a secondary office here. You know, one of the things that Gary Opadal, our economic development director, says that I love is we have an airport that never closes. So I flew back from Orlando via Houston, and we were all worried about the hurricane that hit last month and that we were going to be stranded in Houston. You know, we don't have hurricanes. We don't have floods. We don't have earthquakes. You know, occasionally we have lightning, but our airport, I don't think in 25 years I can remember a day that our airport was closed due to weather. So maybe we can find some companies. You know, would Google consider having a satellite office here and employ 1,000 of their people? Think about what a game changer that would be if we could have something like that happen. Could Amazon set up a secondary location here and ship all their things out of Albuquerque? I don't know.
Right.
And I don't know that
I like
gonna...
the way you're thinking, but again, you need a labor force, and apparently that's an issue too, because no offense to APS, but there are some I guess you'd say controversial debates around what kind of labor force are we putting forth to support those kinds of platforms.
But we do have CNM stimulus. My good friend Debbie Johnson is heading that program up.
Yeah.
And you know, we do have some opportunities. And
but I'm just saying economic development is a very complicated
right,
equation.
It is.
People think, oh, you just started a business. Well, you get a labor force, you gotta have access to capital, you have to have the right consumer population, you have to have the right product. That's why we do ABQ Connect Now, because it's a very complicated mechanism called economic development. But folks like you make contributions to economic development in terms of our ecosystem.
Well, and it's also you bring in dollars out of state just like we do. we are bringing that impact. But, you know, let's go back to the Capitol. You know, I was really blessed. I'm with Bank of the West. And I remember when I was switching banks, Leslie Quaid made it really easy. I said, look, I need my 100,000 line of credit. I need it easy. Make it easy for me to bank transfer. And you got it. She came to my location.
I'm still working on Joni, by the way.
My line of credit. Came to my place of business, didn't disturb me having to leave and get it all done, and it was instant. Then I, you know, paid that off, and then when I was growing on investments and needed new machinery, she got me an $85,000 operations loan so I can get through the cash flow crunch. I mean, it is easy. It's all about that cash flow is king, and we all know that, and as a small business, it can get pretty tight. You know, I remember back in the 2009, just like you, you know, payday to payday, you're like, please, can I make it to the next payroll?
Right.
You know, it was tough.
It was.
Well, that's why, Joni, and we've talked about this, understanding the financial literacy component inside a business is important, too, because at the end of the day, you still need a bank. You still need access to a loan, a line of credit, whatever it is. So you better understand as a business owner things like good credit relative to your business, not to you personally necessarily, but to your business, cash flow relative to your business, and how you have just those resources called financial literacy inside your business.
Right.
And you've been obviously you've had acumen around those principles for many years.
And it's mostly learning it from the School of Hard Knocks. It's interesting because my CFO is always telling me, wow, you know so much more about finance than the average CEO. You know, I made sure I knew what was going on, especially when you go through those downtimes.
Right.
You know, let's talk about downtimes. I read in the paper, you know, just what, yesterday or last week at Albuquerque Business First, there was a solar company laying off 50 employees. I've heard a couple banks nationally laying off employees. What do you hear out there? And I know New Mexico is protected, but we're always going on the downswing after something happens nationally or on the upswing after something happens nationally.
It is a very tough business climate right now. And we are one of the few Western region states that are losing more jobs than we're bringing in. So I think it's still very tight. Jobs are scarce. I get probably 5 resumes a week from UNM marketing students, CNM marketing students looking for jobs. And I don't even know where to tell them. We're not hiring. We haven't been hiring. We've been a 10 for probably 4 years. I don't see it going up. We're still scraping to make it. We are not out of the woods yet by any stretch of the imagination.
Send some of those my way. We're looking for
okay.
a new marketing
well, that's
digital
good to, that's
person.
Good to know. Okay, thank you, DJ. I will.
Again, Joni Griffin is the owner and CEO of Griffin Associates. So we have about a minute left, maybe less, about 30 seconds. Any final thoughts, Joni?
This is a great place to do business. Network. So all the events that you're talking about, get out there, meet the other people. It's unlike any place else, and I could be any place else. I choose to be in Albuquerque.
Very good. So, DJ, very quickly, our upcoming events.
December 2nd, Dave & Buster's, 5 to 8 p.m. January 28th, Exhib It, 5 to 8 p.m. And the Leadership Tomorrow Summit, February 4th, from 8 to 12. You can RSVP at 604-9081.
Thank you again for tuning in to ABQ Connect. Now, I'm Jeffrey Candelari, along with DJ.
DJ Heckes.
And you are also the sponsor. We appreciate that very much. Thank you again, Joni Griffin, CEO and owner of Griffin & Associates, for being a guest on ABQ Connect Now.
It was my pleasure. Thanks.
DJ, we have some live events.
We do, Jeffrey. And please save the date. You've got December 2nd, Dave & Buster's, ABQ Connect Now. Network with prominent other businesses and really get to know each other and relationship build. January 28th, the next ABQ Connect Now is hosted by Exhibit from 5 to 8 p.m.
Thank you again for tuning into ABQ Connect Now. We'll be back after this short break.
Did you know that only 50% of your marketing dollars actually work? That's right, just 50%. Which 50% is working for you? Are you tired of wasting money and not reaching the right target audience through your marketing dollars? Exhibit can help you get noticed through design and print of corporate branding, marketing one-sheets, brochures, and trade show displays. Marketing has changed, and the way to reach your target audience is changing. If you want to grow your business and work with a reputable and well-known company, be sure to call now and talk with one of our marketing and Exhibit experts, 828-0574. That's 828-0574. Or visit us on the web at exhib-it.com. Again, exhib-it.com. Exhibit, it's New Mexico's leading provider of marketing, design, and printing, and portable, modular, and custom trade show displays. proud sponsor and co-host of KTBL 1050 AM ABQ Connect Now Business Talk Radio Show on Saturdays from 10 to 11 a.m.
Welcome back, Albuquerque. You're listening to ABQ Connect Now Business Radio Program every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. on KTBL 1050 AM. My name is Jeffrey Candelaria, along with
DJ Heckes.
And DJ, thank you for also being a sponsor, not just a co-host of ABQ Connect Now at Exhibit.
It's a pleasure.
Absolutely. So, DJ, introduce our next vibrant business guest.
Our next guest, I'm really proud to announce because they do great things in the community, is Russell Baker. He's with the National Dance Institute, also known as NDI, New Mexico. He was born in Amos, Iowa, and he grew up with a passion for music, performing, and the arts. He began dancing while pursuing his bachelor in English from Vassar College, which he received in 91. But then he received a MFA, I'll have to ask you what that is, in ballet teaching and choreographing from the University of Utah in 93. You know, you also danced professionally with the Kansas City Ballet for 10 years from 92 to 2002. And I'll end with your introduction with that under your leadership, NDI New Mexico was also the first top nonprofit in the education 2013 and arts and culture in 2015 categories. Congratulations under your leadership.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here today.
So what is MFA?
MFA, a Master of Fine Arts. So
duh.
if you're studying dance or painting or something like that, that's the that's really sort of the terminal degree in sort of performing arts.
Oh, wow. And, you know, Russell, tell us, you know, NDI does so much in the community. I remember, when did y'all get founded here?
It was 22 years ago.
Wow.
So 1994. And since then, the program has just really expanded and grown exponentially.
And tell us a little bit about what you do for your participants that are in the NDI.
Okay. This year, about 9,500 children across the state of New Mexico are participating in NDI programs. Our core program is in public elementary schools, where we work with entire classes and entire grades. It's a real high-energy dance class taught by a team, a dance instructor, choreographer, and musician, piano player right there in the corner, providing musical accompaniment for everything that we do. And the idea behind this class, it's an hour-long class once a week for the full school year, is that we're teaching skills and attitudes that can translate into other parts of children's lives. We call it the core four. Work hard, do your best, never give up, and be healthy.
Wow. And you guys are really also, you did some research or something was on obesity, child obesity in the schools. And this is really helping get children really buy into this health and dance and really getting them involved.
It's really important that we encourage young people to get out from behind the screen, the television screen or the computer screen, and to be active and exercise. And NDI, New Mexico's program that we call Hip to Be Fit, does exactly that. It's using music and dance, and everyone wants to feel good in their body, and everyone likes to dance. I mean, you look across the world, what do people do when they celebrate? They dance. So it's a way to get kids exercising, and it's the number one thing that we get back from our evaluation results. Kids feel energized, and they want to keep engaging in physical activity.
You're listening to ABQ Connect Now. We're with you every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. on KTBL 1050. I'm Jeffrey Candelari, along with
DJ Heckes.
Our guest today is Mr. Russell Baker. He is the executive director for the National Dance Institute. Russell, so you talk about dance. Obviously, there are different expressions of dance. So talk about the different expressions of dance that you integrate into your student environment.
Sure. The main program that we do in public elementary schools, it's a form of dance that we call street jazz. And one of the things that's so engaging for children for this style of dance is that you wear sneakers, blue jeans, t-shirt, whatever you have on at school. So kids come in, they don't need any sort of special shoes, preparation in advance. They just, it meets kids right where they are. It's a kind of a pedestrian form of dance that's running and jumping and clapping and stomping. But it's also just about precision and musicality, expressing music. At the Highland Theater and also at the Dance Barns, where we have after school, weekend, and summer programs, we have classes for children 3 to 18, and they're open to all kids in the community. And there you can get a really wide variety of classes, from ballet to hip hop, musical theater, voice, jazz, tap dancing. For the youngest kids, we have creative movement, the 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. The Highland Theater has really become a vibrant community center. Almost 1,000 kids come every week to participate in all of these different kinds of classes and programs.
Our guest, Russell Baker, he is the executive director for the National Dance Institute, NDI. So, Russell, I want to talk about the business model. Obviously, you're an executive director. I was with a nonprofit for 20 years. And talk about the business model behind NDI. In other words, are you a not-for-profit? Are you a for-profit? Talk about how you generate revenue so you can sustain your programming and how you're structured also as NDI in New Mexico.
Excellent question. The NDI New Mexico is a nonprofit organization, a statewide nonprofit. We are serving kids all over New Mexico. And so as a nonprofit, we have to really be stewards of the generosity of people and businesses and foundations in our community. We raise money in order to do what we do. The truth is that the children and the schools and the families largely don't pay for the programs. So we are in service to the constituents that participate. So fundraising starts, I think, with having a really strong board of directors. But we also sort of have the leave no stone unturned kind of approach, that we work to build a strong annual support from individuals. We do fundraising galas where they'll be at a performance and then have, you know, like sort of standard dinner, dancing, entertainment afterwards, auction, those kinds of things. We go to businesses for sponsorships. We send proposals to foundations. We have government partners, the National Endowment for the Arts and the New Mexico Department of Health, the City of Albuquerque, Bernalillo County, to name a few of our government partners. And then there's you know, a bit of earned income that can be a part of our revenue stream. But the truth is that that's, you know, relatively small. It can be some ticket sales or groups who come in and rent the Highland Theater that we can get a little bit
of. I'm hearing you say sponsorship, live event, ticket purchasing kinds of things. Probably you do some silent auction stuff. And then do you also do foundation grant writing as well to complement your revenue streams?
We do. We really try to do it all.
Okay. So without surrendering too much proprietary information, approximately what is your nut to operate NDI?
Our annual budget is $5.3 million a year.
Wow. That's substantial.
Yeah, you know, sometimes people don't really think of nonprofits as being real economic drivers,
right,
and real, you know, bona fide businesses. NDI is a large organization, and we're raising a lot of money and providing a lot in services.
How many folks do you employ?
We have 116 employees at this time.
So to your point, you're also providing 116 quality jobs that are jobs that are such that those people are serving a grander purpose than just working at, you know, some non-monolithic kind of a manufacturing kind of a place. You're actually making people happy, particularly kids, throughout New Mexico.
It's, you know, one of the things that I think about the NDI staff that I love the most is that we're really mission-driven. Every single person who works for NDI is really excited about and on a day-to-day basis driven by this idea that we are helping make the world a better place for children. And, you know, two things about our staff that I think are really neat. One is that we've got a lot of teachers who have degrees from the dance department at the University of New Mexico. So New Mexicans getting a degree and then getting a job in their state, in their field. That's an exciting thing. And the second thing is we this year have hired full-time one of the students that went through our program. She went through the NDI program as a teenager all the way through high school. She went off to college. She danced. She studied. And now she's come back, and she's working for NDI delivering programs in rural communities all over New Mexico. It's exciting sort of thing that I hope is going to keep happening again and again.
Well, Russell, that kind of ties in. I was just at the top performing CEOs last month, and, you know, you were one of the honorees. And, you know, you came here in 2008. Let's talk about that time period. That's when the whole United States was talking recession and all this. And you took NDI and you really put it on the map. I mean, you've always been around, but the videos came out, the TV interviews. I remember watching even as little as last year or the year before, you guys had some great videos about what you're doing in the community. Let's attribute that leadership, because I know that you went to the Rockwood Leadership Institute, Art of Leadership, and you've done some other seminars and Anderson Foundation's Executive Leadership Forum. Tell us a little bit about what you learned and how you attribute your leadership style at NDI.
Well, I think that one of the things that I learned at some of the workshops and programs that I've had the privilege to participate in is the importance of expressing the mission and the impact of the work that we do. That really what I feel like I do is bring people together, whether it's bringing students and families together at the Highland Theater or in the schools, or bringing the teachers and the principals and the NDI teachers and classes together, or bringing the board and the donors together. It's like, how do we build a kind of energy and excitement around something that is, A, really joyful, but it's also important. It has a real deep and meaningful impact, because there's the two sides. The one side is this is a lot of fun and we're dancing and it's music. But the other side is that kids growing up in New Mexico have a lot of challenges before them. And how do we help give them the things that they need to be successful in life? How do we address poverty and isolation from being in a rural community, lack of opportunities or access to programs, low sort of health outcomes or educational outcomes, because we know that those are two challenges that if I can help paint a picture for why this is important, that it can be the thing that motivates everybody to get behind it.
Thank you for tuning in to ABQ Connect Now. We're with you every Saturday from 10 to 11 a.m. Please tell your friends, particularly business folks, to listen to us. Also, if you have an event, activity, or something you're doing relative to your business, let me know and or DJ at 604-9081, and we'll announce it on the radio. DJ, talk about some of our live events coming up.
Yes, as we've said in the last segment, on Wednesday, December 2nd, you'll want to attend the ABQ Connect Now. It's a business network exchange at Dave & Buster's from 5 to 8 p.m.
And it's free.
And it's free. Thank you. And also, January 28th, we're hosting at Exhibit, the next one, on January 28th, 5 to 8 p.m. The Leadership Tomorrow Today Summit is February the 4th from 8 o'clock till 12:15. It's $25 pre-registration through January 28th. That includes continental breakfast and five leaders giving you takeaways that you can really put into action.
Our guest, Russell Baker, he is the executive director in the second segment of ABQ Connect Now of the National Dance Institute here in New Mexico. Russell, so when I worked at the Chamber, I raised about $20 million in corporate sponsorship. I'm very proud of that. So the height of sponsorship for me at that time was around 2004, 2006, somewhere in there. Have you seen the sponsorship acquisition dynamic change in the last 5 years, 3 years? Is it better, worse? Give it some context, too, when you're asking corporate sponsors to say, let's say, sponsor the Highland recital of whatever it is for $5,000, whatever it might be. Have you seen some of that dynamic change the last 5 years? Is it better, worse, or about the same?
Well, when I became the executive director of NDI New Mexico, it was in end of 2008, beginning of 2009, we were announcing a capital campaign and the country was going into an economic recession. And I said, I'm either going to have a really interesting story to tell at the end of all this, or I'm not really going to be talking about it. So what I've seen in this time is that things are getting better, because we kind of started at a low for me. And, you know, when I was first really engaging in fundraising with corporate sponsors or individuals, I find that over the last couple of years that businesses and foundations have become more conscious and selective about their goals. And I think that maybe is something that came from the recession. If someone can't fund everything, then they sort of find an area that they want to be a focus, and that focus might be education, it might be health, it might be financial literacy. So I find that businesses, individuals, all of them, foundations.
So the givers kind of narrowed their focus,
yeah,
to the things that are purposeful for their mission or their culture with inside their business.
I think it ties to what's important to their business, but also what they see is important in the community.
Yeah.
So what's the greatest community need?
So is NDI New Mexico, is it locally owned and operated as a nonprofit, or is it a national chain? Can you tell our listeners?
It's NDI New Mexico is an independent nonprofit organization. It's based on some of the teachings and methodology of a man named Jacques D'Amboise, who founded an organization in New York called NDI, the National Dance Institute. And one of his proteges, Catherine Oppenheimer, moved to New Mexico and started a separate, distinct organization. There's about 15 organizations that do similar kinds of teaching around the country, all have different names, not a franchise.
DJ, thank you for being a sponsor of ABQ Connect Now. Why don't you expand on that, please?
Thank you, Jeffrey. On this co-host, both of us had the same mentality. We wanted to have a business talk radio show that really could empower and let you know some great leaders and what they're doing and learn their business practices and their leadership styles and innovations. And Exhibit bought onto that to become a sponsor, because we're the same way. We want to make a difference also in other businesses out there by helping them grow through tangible designs and exhibits and graphics.
And our live events, ABQ Connect Now, like the one on December 2nd at Dave and Buster's, 5 to 8 p.m. That's free. You have access to these folks that are on air. They're resources that are accessible to you. I want to get back to you, Russell. Now, you're a dance person by trade, probably by conviction and passion and all of that. But now you're running, and have done so for 8-9 years. You're running a business, $5, $7, $8, $10 million business. How did you make the transition from really aesthetics and art into a business leadership capacity?
That's a good question. Nobody expected a ballet dancer to become the executive director of a big business, I guess. I feel like from when I was growing up, from a very early age, I had a family that supported my interests and my passion in music and in dance and in the arts. But my father was a businessman, and I really saw and heard stories and, you know, learned some things from his experience in management. And then I went off to college, and even though I went to a liberal arts college and was dancing and doing these things, I had got a degree in English. And that was an important thing, I think, for my family, that like finding something that you're becoming an educated person, that you are trying to be your best, that was like, you know, an ideal that I lived up to. So I went away from sort of that business world to become a dancer, and really had a wonderful career and got to work with lots of choreographers and teachers and perform on stage, and had this really sort of like, I will never say I regret that I didn't pursue the thing that I was the most excited about in life. I just tried it, and I'm lucky that worked. And then now I feel like I've come kind of in full circle, that I've started to become I became a teacher, then the artistic director, and now learning from other leaders, seeing what other nonprofits are doing, an incredible board of directors, how to run a business.
Our guest, Russell Baker, he is the executive director for NDI New Mexico. So you're clearly most equipped to understand the business leadership piece as the executive director, but yet at the same time understand the artistic expression piece as a dancer. So you're actually kind of marrying both mindsets into your role as the leader of NDI. Very good. EJ.
Now, Russell, I know today is, you know, Saturday, November 21st. Tell us some things that you have that you want the audience to know of fundraisers or some big events over the holidays coming up.
Sure. I love that question. We're doing performances, informal performances in the elementary schools where we're working in throughout the month of December, opportunities for kids to get in front of their peers and their parents, and we love to have other special guests come and see those. So I encourage people to go to our website where you can see a schedule of those performances because it's a lot of schools. The website is www.ndi-nm.org. We also have performances in February at the Highland Theater where we're bringing two guest artists from the Boston Ballet, principal dancers dancing with the NDI students. This is going to be a fantastic production, and I really hope that people will come out to see it. There are also sponsorship opportunities for that show. And then our biggest fundraiser of the year is on May 21st at the Highland Theater. There's a performance with 500 students on stage, gala, dinner, dancing, fundraiser after that.
Wow. You know, Russell, let's step back a second and can you share a story? Because you're making a difference in children's lives. You're building their confidence or self-esteem, getting over peer pressures by performing in public and teaching them leadership in a way. So is there a story that you can sit back and go, you know what? It's because of NDI that look at what that child's doing now.
We had a student, former student, come back and get reconnected with us just within the last year. She lives in Albuquerque, and she was she went to the University of New Mexico and got a degree in nursing and is working at the Children's Hospital on the oncology floor. And this last couple of months, she started a graduate school program to become a nurse practitioner. And she said that, you know, it, like dancing and being a part of NDI was, you know, sort of her second home, her home away from home as she was growing up. And then she started this other pursuit in college, very, very smart young woman. And the more that she did that, the more she saw that she was just called to bring these two things together, that she wanted to help make New Mexico a better place for children, and that the way she was going to do that would be being a nurse in a children's hospital, and really, I think, working with some of the young people that need the most love and care. She came back and she told this story in front of our donors, and she even talked about a partnership that brought the doctors from the hospital over to the Highland Theater, and they took a dance class, and she was out there doing what she was doing as a 9-year-old and a 10-year-old and on stage with her new colleagues and feeling like that she was helping make New Mexico a better place to grow up and to be a kid.
Our guest, Russell Baker, he is the executive director of NDI New Mexico, NDI National Dance Institute. I'm Jeffrey Candelari along with
DJ Heckes.
Russell, getting back to you, if I'm a third grade teacher in Eunice, New Mexico, and I want an appearance or I want to warrant your, you know, presence at our school, how does that happen? How does the selection process happen, I guess, if you will, in terms of how do you select the venues that you appear?
Well, what we do is when a new school comes onto our program, we want to be committed to that school and that community and maintain that relationship for as long as possible. So we have to be careful, and that when we add new schools, that we have the teachers, trained teachers, and the funding in place to be able to not only provide it for 1 year, but to continue providing it for as many years as we can. The way to get on our wait list is to go to our website, and there's a spot for a principal of an elementary school to let us know that they're interested in the program. And then as we get the trained teachers in place and the funding in place, then we look at our wait list to see where we can add a new program.
Does the school in my hypothetical Eunice, New Mexico, third grade, wherever it is, does that school participate in the funding acquisition process, or do you partner with that school to acquire funds to sustain a presence or a partnership with NDI?
We have a small fee for the program for elementary schools that's based on free and reduced breakfast and lunch at the school. So NDI really takes on the largest part of fundraising for the program. We're targeting the schools that have the highest free breakfast and free lunch to provide the program. So the school doesn't participate in that way in fundraising, although being able to help us tell stories and tell about the importance and the impact of the program in the community is something, is a way that schools help us to be successful at fundraising.
Okay. So in this hypothetical school, again, forgive all my questions. I drive my wife crazy because I'm a very detailed guy. You know, more than her probably. But anyway, point is, if I, GEL New Mexico, become a partner and through you acquire some funding, what does that guarantee? Meaning, do you have 5 recitals at my school a year? So talk a little bit about what the commitment to that school might be once such partnership dollars are secured.
Sure. There's sort of 2 formats that I would describe. One is our 30-week or 15-week program, which we do in Albuquerque, Santa Fe, Espanola, Pewaukee, the places where we have staff, teachers, and musicians living in the community. Because we can go to those schools once a week, and the class is an hour long. We try to do 2 or 3 or 4 classes in a row to work with as many kids as possible. We go back every week and over the course of the year deliver our curriculum. There's a mid-year performance in December, so students can kind of get the idea of what it's like to be performing in front of a group. And then at the end of the year, we do the big performance. We call it the end-of-the-year event. It's at the Highland Theater, and there's 7 performances and the band and the costumes and the lighting and a real community event. The second way that we do the programming is what we call our residency program. And that's where we go out into rural communities like Eunice and GEL. We go to about 23 different communities around New Mexico. And there we live in the community for 1, 2, or 3 weeks, and we work with students every day while we're there. So in those shorter format programs, the good thing is students don't forget what we taught from one day to the next. When you're working with them once a week, you have to do a lot of reminding. But we can build a program really fast, and every program has a culminating performance of some kind. So in a 3-week program, we'll rent out the theater in town. We'll send the truck down with the costumes and the band. Then we will do the show. In a 1-week performance, it's more informal. It's in the gym. We'll, you know, doll it up with some artwork, but it's really a demonstration of what kids have experienced.
So the student actually, at the end of the session, if you are sessions, has at least some fundamental rudiments of dance expression or form.
Definitely, they're learning dances, and they're going to do a performance where they dance in 3 different dances in one show in our longest program, or they're showing the elements of the experience. They're showing what the warm up is like, what the what learning choreography is like. How do we use methodologies that are engaging for young people, but that actually encourage them to keep trying and to keep working, and even with a challenge in front of them, not give up and do those things until they've achieved what they're trying to accomplish at a really, really high level.
Very good. DJ, a couple of thoughts on our events, and then we'll go back to Russell for final thoughts.
Again, lastly, please save the events and RSVP to 604-9081, December 2nd. ABQ Connect now at Dave & Buster's.
Russell, any final thoughts? We've got about 20 seconds.
Well, I just would like to thank you for having me here today, and I want to thank all of the people in our community who support nonprofits and the important work that we do.
Very good. Again, DJ, thank you for being a sponsor of ABQ Connect Now. Thank you again, listenership, for listening to ABQ Connect Now. We're with you every Saturday on 1050 KTBL.
Did you know that only 50% of your marketing dollars actually work? That's right, just 50%. Which 50% is working for you? Are you tired of wasting money and not reaching the right target audience through your marketing dollars? Exhibit can help you get noticed through design and print of corporate branding, marketing one sheets, brochures, and trade show displays. Marketing has changed. and the way to reach your target audience is changing. If you want to grow your business and work with a reputable and well-known company, be sure to call now and talk with one of our marketing and exhibit experts, 828-0574. That's 828-0574. Or visit us on the web at exhib-it.com. Again, exhib-it.com. Exhibit, it's New Mexico's leading provider of marketing, design, and printing, and portable, modular, and custom trade show displays. Proud sponsor and co-host of KTBL 1050 AM ABQ Connect Now Business Talk Radio Show on Saturdays from 10 to 11 a.m.
KKOB's Talk Partners, 1050, KTBL, Los Ranchos de Albuquerque. A Cumulus station.
Fighting terror, snow in the Midwest. I'm Michael Toscano. Stores in Brussels are closed.